We'd like for you to turn to the book of Daniel, the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel. We're going to begin, been telling you, we're going to start some messages on prophecy. And this morning, we're going to start in the book of Daniel in the ninth chapter. There's a prophecy given in that chapter that I believe is one of the very important, real important prophecies in the Bible. Now, I know, you know, they're all important. We know that. But in the day that we live, we're all looking, if we've just got a little bit of biblical sense, we're looking at Israel. We watch Israel. There's hardly not a day that Israel is not in the news. And that is because we're drawing to the near, the end times. And we need to, this prophecy in the ninth chapter of Daniel gives the history from the time that the commandment went forward to rebuild Jerusalem until the very end of time. He gives us the history of Israel and the 70 weeks. I'm sure you've heard of the 70 weeks. We'll discuss that. But that is Israel's history. It's talking about the nation of Israel. And we need to, in this, have an understanding, I think, before we really get into the lot of the things on prophecy. If we can understand that, and I think it's important that we do, so I hope I'll be able to convey it, and I hope you'll listen, because this, I think, is very, very important. And so the ninth chapter, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it. Now, I'm going to ask you, please, listen carefully as Daniel is praying. Daniel is confessing sin. Daniel, for as I'm certain, one of the great characters of the Bible. And yet you find him confessing his father's sins and his sins, the sin of the nation. And it's in the midst, or as he finishes that prayer, that God sends Gabriel, the archangel, and gives him a message and tells him how beloved he is. I think there's something there that we can take home with us. God wants us to be willing to face the fact that we're just sinners. And when America is in the shape she is today, we ought to be confessing our sin and the sin of our nation. We ought to be confessing it. And because that's exactly what Daniel did. And then it was then that God answered, readily answered. In fact, he sent the angel Gabriel hurriedly, sent him fast to Daniel to answer his prayer. Well, when you hear Daniel praying, I think we'll understand why. And in that, I think that's a principle. I just want you to remember there's a principle there. We need to look at ourselves and look at this old nation and realize we're in real deep trouble. And we haven't got anything to brag about. We need to confess the fact that we have sinned and that this nation needs God. Okay? So as we read it, please, please, listen carefully to the words of Daniel, ninth chapter. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity,
and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and we have confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judges us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his words which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. And, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thy eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do fear not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while, you see, he's done praying, and in the midst of this prayer, after he's over and over and over asked forgiveness and admitted their sin, we find in the midst of that prayer in verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision.
I'll read the last few verses in a few moments because it is the prophecy that the angel Gabriel gave to him. But did you notice in the midst of his prayer, after he was admitting their sin and calling out to God for mercy, God swiftly sends the answer to Daniel. And the Bible says that Daniel is greatly beloved. And I believe it's because of Daniel's humbleness and willingness to admit the fact that he's not what he should be and his people are not what they should be. So Daniel, if you will notice, and we're probably not going to go back and read it, I'll give you the address, but if you go back to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, verse 17 through 21, you find what happened to Israel and how they was taken away captive and sent into and brought into Babylon. And of course, Daniel was part of that. He was brought along with that, as you know. And then we find Daniel here in the first two verses that I read to you. Daniel was thinking about, and he was probably had been reading the prophet Jeremiah, because Jeremiah predicted the 70 years of captivity. And Daniel said there in verse number 2 there, he talks about Jeremiah the prophet, and that there was going to be a 70-year captivity in Babylon. That's important because Daniel realized something. Daniel was coming to the time, he had been there since the very beginning. He realized that these 70 years was coming to an end. And he was calling out to God. He was asking the Lord, what now for Israel? What is going to happen now after these 70 years captivity? As I said, they was coming to an end, and he was crying out to God. And so God sends him an answer, as we said there in verse 20 and verse 23. And the angel then began to give a prophecy. In verse 24 through verse 27, he gives forth a prophecy. I believe it's the very important prophecy, one of the most important prophecies in the Bible. And as I read it, I want you to listen to it, because he's going to tell Daniel about Israel. Yes, Israel, you have a future. And here's what it's going to be. So we find in verse 24, he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, I know there's a lot there, but I want to give you some points that we're going to be probably really studying this prophecy next week. But I want to give you some points, and I want you to remember these, because it's important that you do. You've got to remember, first of all, that this prophecy is for Israel. It is not for the church. It is for Israel and the history of Israel. 70 weeks, and we'll talk about that, but 70 weeks are determined against the people, Daniel's people, and the city of Jerusalem. So remember that as we study this. This is not for the church. We'll talk about that in a moment. This is for Israel. 69 weeks, and remember this. There was a 7-week, and again, we'll talk more about that next week, but there was a 7-week period, and there's a 62-week period, and those are makes 69, if I got my math right, 69 weeks. And when we talk about weeks, listen, this is important. He's talking about weeks of years. Weeks of years. So 70 weeks are determined. That is, what is 70 times 7? 490 years are determined against Israel or for Israel. It's 490 years. Okay? Remember that. 490 years. Now, 69 of those weeks, which is 483 years, have already passed. They are in the past. They're done for. And we have 1 week left, the 70th week. And that is what we know of as the tribulation period. 7 weeks of tribulation. So just kind of keep that in mind, that this is a prophecy for Israel. Now we'll talk about it in a moment, but remember that this is not for the church. This is not for the it's for the nation of Israel. 70 weeks, 490. See, that is one of the reasons why that Israel should have known when their Messiah was coming. They should know. From the commandment to go forth and rebuild Jerusalem, in which we'll talk about that, but till the Messiah comes, they should have known that it would be 483 years, 69 weeks. They should have known that, but they wasn't looking for him. I know some was, but they was not looking for him. And they should have known that the Messiah was come, because he told them right here, Messiah will be cut off after 483 years. So that leaves us 1 week of years left for Israel. 1 week. And that's what we talk about, the tribulation period. Okay? And it's important you grab a hold. Also, there's another point in this prophecy that is important. If you remember, he mentions two princes in verse 25, let me reread that. He said, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." The Messiah the Prince there, he's identified. We know that is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. Amen. And he's that first prince. In the next verse, you have another prince mentioned. These are two different princes. They are not the same. In verse 26, he said, "After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." The prince that shall come actually is talking about the Antichrist. And it says the people, his people, will destroy the temple, and which they did. They destroyed Jerusalem, if you remember, in AD 70. And so these are two different princes in these two different verses. One of them is one to come, one of them is our Messiah, and the other one is that what we heard, talk about is Antichrist. Now, if you notice, there is 70 weeks. Again, we will get into more of this next week in explanation, but there's 70 weeks. It's divided, first of all, into 7 weeks, which is 49 years. Okay? 7 weeks. Remember, 49. Then it also has 62 weeks in that verse of scripture, which is 434 years. All right, and then you add those two together, there's 483 years. And then what is left but the 1 week, which is 7 years. And that, again, is 7 years of tribulation. Now, let me try to help you here with the 480 years, the 69 weeks, they are past. They are done. That happened when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He was cut off. After that, God began to work with the Gentiles. He no longer at that time really was working with Israel as a nation, because they had refused their king. They had refused him as the Messiah. And so he cuts off and begins the church period. Church period now has been, what, 2010, at least 2010 years long. And in the Old Testament, the prophets of the Old Testament, when God showed them the future, he didn't, I'll kind of illustrate it like this. You have mountaintops and then valleys and mountaintops and valleys. They looked back here and saw the mountaintops. They did not see the valleys. They did not see the church age. They knew nothing about the church age. They looked here at all of these 69 weeks. They looked straight on into the seventh week. They didn't realize there was going to be that space in between then, when God was calling out his church, which he's doing now. Okay? Thank God he did. Thank God he did. And anyway, they could not see that. Old Testament prophets did not see the church age. They only saw the mountaintops. But then you look here and you see, though, there is this church age, and it's going to come to an end at the rapture, when Jesus comes and takes the church home, and he's going to take us up to be with him forevermore. And then after that comes the tribulation period. You've heard about the tribulation period. If you've been around preaching much, you've heard about that, the 7 years of tribulation. That is going back and dealing with Israel again for their seventh week. And let me say to you, that's going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible time for Israel and for the world. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time, especially the last 3.5 years. So you find that in verse 25, look, he says, "Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And he goes on to tell us there that is the beginning. That is the beginning of this prophecy. And we will look at that next week, I'm sure, a little bit. But that commandment to build Jerusalem, rebuild Jerusalem, is found in the book of Nehemiah. And the king gave a commandment and allowed Nehemiah to come and to rebuild Jerusalem and the wall. Now, there's other commandments made by Cyrus in the book of Ezra, but you want to watch and realize that that's a different commandment, because in Ezra the commandment is to go back and build the temple. Ezra went back to build the temple. This is not what he says here in this verse. It's to go back and build Jerusalem. And that's the difference. And so in Nehemiah you find the commandment. So they knew when that was going to be. That was the start of all of this. You see, and that's when it began. So they knew 69 weeks, in other words, 69 times 7 is going to be, the Messiah is going to be showing up. They should have known that. And Daniel, of course, here was recognizing that the 70 weeks that they was in captivity was coming to an end. He wanted to know, God, what are you going to do in the future? And God gives him this here prophecy. Now, at the end of the 69 weeks, the Bible tells us The Messiah shows up. Jesus Christ shows up. And it's and in fact is even cut off. He says there in verse number 26, two things will happen after the 69 weeks are completed. And of course they are now. But if you'll notice in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. After the 69 weeks are over, Messiah is cut off. So he's had to come. If he's cut off, he's had to come. And then also, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And of course that happened in AD 70. The Romans came and destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem. Okay? And that's what he's saying is going to happen after the 69 weeks are completed. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. And then, of course, we're in that time, into the church age. And God is calling out. Thank God, his mercy called us out. We've been going on for 2,000 plus years. Amen? So when you see Israel over there in the news, just like it is, and all the things that's happening, it's just like right now, I don't know whether they're still there. They was in Washington, D.C. Netanyahu, the leader, and the Palestinian leader was meeting. That may be over now. I'm not sure. But anyway, they was meeting. You see stuff like that every day in the news. And the reason is we are coming to the end times. You see, years ago, before 1948, there's so many things that couldn't have happened because the Jews were not back in their land. Now they're back in their land. Folks, they're there. And the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know we talk about it. We named our Sunday school class, Jesus is Coming, adult Sunday school class. We've done that on purpose. I want you to be reminded that Jesus Christ could come any time. I mean any time. This is exciting times that we are living in. And so he could come, you see, at any time. And then after he comes, of course, after that, then it'll be the tribulation period will begin. But anyway, after these two events, there is a firm covenant made. Let me find this. And in verse 27, and he shall confirm. Who's he talking about? He. This is this prince that is to come, the prince of the people who destroyed Jerusalem, which is the Romans. Okay, and he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. See, he's going to make a peace treaty. And I've looked at this, and I don't really have a lot of understanding on it, but it says he's to confirm. It makes me wonder if there would be a treaty maybe already in place, and he comes along and confirms it. But anyway, we know he confirms it for a week, and that week is the tribulation period. You've heard much about the tribulation period, that he makes a covenant with Israel. Remember, God's dealing with Israel once again. Now, in the midst of that week, look what he says. And he says, for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. If you'll notice there, in the midst of that week, 3.5 years into that treaty, the Antichrist will come against Israel, set himself up in the temple of God as though he were God, and cause the Israelites to cease their sacrificing. And that last 3.5 years of tribulation, you've heard it. It is a horrible thing. It is a terrible, terrible thing. And Israel is driven out of their, chased out of their place. And God gives them a place to hide and to be protected for 3.5 years. But this Antichrist steps up. He wants to be worshipped as God. And he steps in, stops their sacrifices. See, somewhere along there, whether it's surely at the first of the 7 years or somewhere in there, the temple is rebuilt. See, that temple's going to be rebuilt. And they'll start sacrificing again. And they do that up until the midst of that week, and he stops it. Okay, he puts a stop to it. And then, of course, and I'm not going to probably go into this a lot, but in verse number 24, he gives us some things that will take place during this 70 years. He finishes, and of course, the last week, the last 7 years, is really where a lot of it comes to an end. But notice what he says. All of that time, that history I've given for Israel, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgressions, to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Thank God Israel's sin is going to be completed. They're going to be finally done. It's going to be in the past. We know that Jesus has already paid the cost for all sin. We understand that. But they've never accepted that. And at this time, they will. They'll accept it. And he says, and to bring to everlasting righteousness, and that is, of course, Jesus taking over. Jesus in the 1,000-year reign, but it doesn't end there. At the end of the 1,000-year, old Satan's turned loose just for a little while, and God immediately moves and puts him where he should be and will be for eternity, and Jesus will go on to rule for all eternity. Amen? And he says, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy. All of prophecy, all of the vision that God had for Israel and the prophecy that he's given us about Israel will be complete. It'll be done. That seventh week will complete it fully and completely, and then we enter into eternity, you see. And he says, and to anoint the Most High. Thank God that God will be God. And Jesus will rule forever and ever. So that basically, and we'll cover that more next week, but you see, Daniel now is being assured, don't have much time, Daniel is assured that his nation people have a future. They have a future, you see. The Messiah is coming. He said so in this here prophecy. And that the nations of the world will not win in the end. You see, Iran thinks they're going to wipe Israel off the map. It's not going to happen. I don't care what they think or what they try. They are not going to wipe Israel off the map. Israel is going to be the eternal people of God, and they're going to be there. But they're going to face a lot of difficult and hard times. I look at that and I say, I wish I could say that about the United States, but I can't promise that about the United States. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know they're not going to destroy Israel. I know that for a fact. You see, Antichrist, the prince, will not succeed. He will be destroyed. And my, I don't know where time goes. But anyway, it's just remember, you know, when they talk about wiping Israel off the map, don't you worry about it. It isn't going to happen. No. That's God's people. He'll intervene. But I do think sometimes we may have a little bit to be worried about if we continue in our sin like we've been doing. Anyway, I got to close. Father, thank you again. You're good to us. You're kind to us. Help us, oh God, to understand the importance of these things. And Lord, your coming just must be soon, and we look forward to it, and thank you. And we just ask you maybe to come quickly, come soon, and thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.